I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We had one of those days where our guest canceled, and it happened this morning, and it was to have been John Meacham with a very substantial, and I might add, extremely well-written, John's a great writer, book about George Herbert Walker Bush, and I read a lot of it, and so there was a mix-up, so the show didn't happen this hour. So what do you do? So we, you know, KP and Scotty and I lamented the fact and that wasn't going to happen, and then thought about other shows and put calls out for other shows, and then long about 12 o'clock, it was time to have a little bit of lunch to have some energy for the afternoon, so we just said, okay, it's an open line. We don't do these very often, and to tell you the truth, I kind of like them because you do give us usually about 10 really good suggestions that we'll follow through. It's a chance for us to find out if we're hitting the mark with the kinds of programs that we're doing, and a chance for you who are people who read widely and you're involved in the political process and you care about the country and the world. It's a chance for us to hear from you as to the kinds of people you would like to have on the show. So it's okay. We're going to hear from you. We rarely do these, and this hour we will. Our phone number is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. An hour for program suggestions from you this hour. So you are our guest. KP is going to be answering the phones, and we will get many calls this hour. So if you can't get through, just keep trying the phone line. Or you can always go to our Facebook page as well, where we can read the suggestions that you give us. That's the Kathleen Dunn Show. Also, like us, then you'll know the other kinds of shows that we're doing because we post what's going to be on the air. And I should tell you that yesterday's book list, the terrific book list from the wonderful Nancy Pearl, is on our Facebook page today. So you'll be able to look through those, and the ones that caught your fancy, you might be able to get them and read. All right, let's go to phone calls. 800-486-8655. Jake in Whitewater, hello.
Hi, how's it going?
All right, Jake, how are you?
Not bad. I'm just studying for finals right now, actually.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I hope you're having a wonderful time.
I'm actually not doing too bad. You know,
good.
I'm just finishing up. It's actually going pretty solid.
Good.
But my suggestion would be, there's a lot of, right now, especially the Middle East, the way it is,
mm-hmm.
There's a lot of background information on that that I'm sure most people don't know. Like, right now, I just finished up writing a paper, and I read a lot of David Fromkin and that kind of stuff. And I think that would be pretty cool for people to know, just like the background with the British after coming after World War One,
mm-hmm.
and authors who specialize in that, like the Middle East area and the creation.
Okay.
To understand maybe why the United States and the rest of the world has to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Not that we necessarily should, but it's kind of rough if we were to pull out. I think that'd be kind of cool for listeners to hear.
I think you're right, Jake. That's a really good suggestion. It's when events happen, we sometimes find ourselves scurrying to get historical background. And I'm not sure if we made peripheral discussions. We've had them on that, but it would be good to devote a whole hour. So, all right. Good way for us to start the hour, and all the best on the exam, sir.
All right, thank you. Have a good day.
Thanks. You too, Jake. Steve is next in Stevens Point. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Kathleen. Love the show.
Thanks.
My suggestion is this. We have several people running for circuit court judge in Portage County, and there is also an election for a Supreme Court justice in the state Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm.
Wondering if we could get somebody in the political science area of academics within the state to talk about what sorts of things are important to voters in selecting people for circuit court judges and Supreme Court justices, as well as maybe someone from the legal community or the academic community in a law school who could talk about the types of things that ought to be important to voters.
Mm-hmm. All right, that's a good idea, Steve. And we really do a terrific job of candidate interviews, so I'm sure all of those races will be covered, and there'll be a listing of who's covering what. But that's a different angle to take, which I like, and it's the kind of thing that we could do. So thank you.
Great, and thanks for taking the suggestion.
You're very welcome. Bye.
Bye.
Peter in New Holstein is next. Hello, Peter.
Hi, this is kind of unusual, but my suggestion would be Shirley Abrahamson, the former Chief Justice of the state Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm.
She got a long history in the state and has some interesting perspectives, and I know some of her answers would have to be kind of guarded, but I think she'd just be a marvelous guest.
All right, great. Thanks, Peter. Thanks for your call. 800-486-8655 is our number. Mary in Eau Claire, hi.
Hi. Yeah, I think Shirley Abrahamson's a great idea, too, by the way.
Okay.
My idea is you've done a good job of talking about all the laws the legislature has put through and changing things. But I'd really like a show about the cumulative impact, you know, sort of a holistic thing of all the changes that of the laws that the assemblies passed since 2011.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a holistic thing.
Okay.
And second, I've gotten really interested in a book called Tomorrow's Battlefield by Nick Turse.
Okay.
Published a year ago. Anyways, it's about U.S. proxy wars and secret ops in Africa.
So. Mm, okay. Tomorrow's Battlefield. The author again?
Nick Turse.
Spell his last name?
T-U-R-S-E.
Turse. Nick Turse.
I'm always tempted to switch to a spoonerism.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Mary. Great suggestions. Thank you. Let's go to Barb in Fenimore. Hi, Barb.
Hello.
Hi.
My idea is social media bullying,
Okay. Often
by adults. It covers anything from breastfeeding to people at UW experimenting with animals to... It covers the gamut. And it ends up being sort of a lynch mob mentality. It can get carried out into people's home addresses being given out.
Really?
And it goes a lot further than just the online bullying.
Hmm.
A good example is the dentist that shot Cecil the Lion.
Right.
Yeah, people were at his home and doing vandalism, and he had to close his business.
So have you read an article about this, or I wouldn't really know how to go about this?
I think you could start with looking at the special situation, maybe go to Google, or even the Minneapolis newspaper, they covered it.
Uh-huh.
I can send KP some information on different other people that this also, if that would work.
Mm-hmm.
People just bully anybody they disagree with, and it gets really out of hand.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thanks, Barb, very much for your call. Jay in Madison, hi.
Hi there. I really like that previous caller's suggestion of a summary of all the changes since Scott Walker and the Republicans took over the executive and legislature. That's a really interesting idea.
Okay.
My suggestion is to do a show on how Islamic men become suicide bombers.
Okay.
From a human perspective, I fundamentally don't understand how someone comes to choose to give up their life for a cause like that. Such a violent and antisocial cause, at least from our perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And these guys are often college-educated, engineers, things like that. So how does that process work?
Mm-hmm.
That's my question.
All right, it's not just guys anymore, is it?
No, you're right. Exactly. And that's even more to the point. I mean, that's even a more interesting question. How do young women become suicide bombers?
Mm-hmm. There was a really, I don't know what happened with this. I know Scott, I was looking at it. The New York Times did a really interesting piece, maybe about a month and a half ago, of women who were married to ISIS fighters in Syria. And it went on to expose how hypocritical the fighters were. They were smoking cigarettes, even though they were having big bonfires to get rid of all the cigarettes. And they were on drugs, some of them. And these women, some of them rebelled and got out of the country. And they had pretty Western kinds of lives before. And I thought that would be a fascinating interview, but I guess we never were able to nail that. But I'm sure somebody's written about this, Jay, and it would be an interesting show.
So thanks a lot.
Okay, thanks for the call. Willem in Colfax. Hi, Willem.
Hi. There's two bills that are being proposed in the Senate. One is, or in the Assembly. One is AB 582, and the other one is SB 266. And there, I remember when Tom Tiffany tried to, end local control. Well, these bills, especially the Senate bill 266, is a bill that's going to end the smart growth plans that towns did. So, someone from the Wisconsin Towns Association, or someone from Wisconsin Farmers Union, both of these bills are ways to circumvent local authority. They're cynical attempts to end local control, which is something that the Republican Party supposedly was one of the linchpins of their ideology, that the government closest to the people is the best.
Mm-hmm.
And this is an attempt to end that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I thought that would be an interesting program, and it's something that a lot of people don't know about, and
right.
That's, it goes along with that suggestion that we observe the changes that have happened to our state.
Yes.
Really, I think the changes are turning our state into a third-world country. So I think this would be an interesting show for people who are concerned about local control and what happens in the areas where they live.
Mm-hmm. All right, Willem, it's a good suggestion, and thank you.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Bye.
Bye. Peter in Saratoga. Hi, Peter.
Yes, hello, Kathleen, and thank you for taking me on right here.
Sure.
I'm an old hunter and everything like this, but I test the NRA. I'd like to show about the NRA's undue influence in politics.
Okay.
In the state and in this nation.
Mm-hmm.
Your last speaker, he brought up some nice issues. Also, the water issues within central Wisconsin, which I've heard between yourself and Joy and Kewaunee County, they're real, real nasty.
Hmm.
But I don't know, ma'am. 12-meter XL vet and hunter and fisherman. I can't support the NRA.
Your phone is fading, Peter, but we got the message, so thank you very much for your call. Kurt in Springbrush. Hi, Kurt.
Hi, Kathleen. I would like to hear you interview a guy by the name of Paul Cienfuegos. He's a community rights organizer from Portland.
Okay.
And he's been doing some organizing in Wisconsin in communities facing like Bayfield, the factory, hog farm, and frac sand mining down in the central part of the state.
Okay.
And he's asking the question why communities in Wisconsin can't say no to these corporate harms. Like, here's another example in Washburn County. We have the Enbridge pipeline running through here, and it's actually bigger than Keystone pipeline. And at the county level, we can't say no to this project if we want to. And it's a frustrating thing to face when you think you live in a democratic society.
And you can't say no because there's no community input on this?
Well, there's community input, but we don't have the right to say no.
I see.
We can't, because you face these corporate rights that they have written into the Constitution. And Paul does a wonderful job of explaining that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I would like to hear him on your show. That would be great.
He's easy to find, Kurt?
Yes, he is. I can. He has a website, paulcienfuegos.com.
Okay.
I can send you the link.
Okay. Thank you.
You bet.
Thanks, Kurt.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Marty in Wentworth. Hi, Marty.
Good afternoon, Kathleen.
Hi.
I've got one suggestion for a show, and then another one just popped in my head.
Okay.
The first one is that, we have Wisconsin has a Republican-dominated legislature right now, so they're passing, let's just say they're continuing the hidden money that comes into funding for campaigns and whatnot, and the Democrats are all against it and whatnot. If the Democrats gain control of the legislature, do they ever revoke or go back and recall whatever the Republicans did and to write what they saw as wrong? And I don't mean this just, Republicans, versus Democrats or vice versa. Either way, you know, and they all talk about how we don't like this and whatnot. And when they gain control in office, do they change what they said they didn't like in the past?
Uh-huh.
Has that ever happened, or does that ever occur? And my second suggestion would be, I would love, we want to put mics and cameras on the police officers.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we do that on all Senate and House of Representative legislators so that we all, the public, can see what goes on during the day, the lobbying that they're confronted with. And I know that's high in the sky, but wouldn't that be interesting?
Yeah, that would be interesting. It would make a great reality TV show, right, Marty?
Yeah. Yes, it would.
I know it would. Okay, thank you.
Definitely.
Thanks for the call. Let's go to Al in Milwaukee. Hi, Al.
Hi, Kathleen. You know, this is prompted. I have a Facebook friend of mine who's a Washington Post editor, and it came to mind that maybe campuses are becoming too politically correct. He had posted back when it was the University of Missouri that had their chancellor president removed.
Mm-hmm.
But the students didn't even want the media to cover their protest. They were trying to block a photographer from covering it. But this whole notion of safe spaces, and you can't have anything that's opposing to your way of thought, interrupting your world. I'm wondering if political correctness is jumping the shark, and if we could have maybe worse.
Hold on 1 second. I got two people on this. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that. I forgot to hang up. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, so maybe a professor or an editor from newspapers to comment on, are we jumping the shark with political correctness and safe spaces on college campuses?
All right, Al.
Okay.
Thank you. Thanks for the suggestion. We'll continue suggestions. We were, for those of you who are tuning in to listen to John Meacham talk about George Herbert Walker Bush and his really excellent biography. That show was canceled on us this morning, so we hope we'll be able to reschedule it. I'm not sure. So instead, with time constraints, we decided to do an open line, and I don't want you to think that we weren't thinking of you. We have talked about an open line, but we haven't had one in forever. So I like to do them every now and then. It's the end of the year. It's a good time to find out if we're on the mark or what kinds of shows you would like for us to do. So that's what we're doing this hour. 800-486-8655 is the number. If you can't get through, you can send an email at talk@wpr.org. And we also have a Facebook page, The Kathleen Dunn Show, where you can write your comments, which you can be assured that we will read. And if you like us on Facebook, then we can send you announcements. You know, we're not invasive about this, but it's good information about who's going to be on the show. So you can, you know, do the like thing and then you'll get those announcements. Plus, we have posted Nancy Pearl's list for her best reads of 2015. That was yesterday's show, and it's posted now on Facebook. All right. More calls in a minute on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. All right, back to phone calls. Ann in Blue Mound is our next caller for our open line suggestions. Hi, Ann.
Hi.
Hi.
One comment that was made in the last show, and I think you made it, of, you know, like, why would people that are concerned about jobs and economic inequality turn to Trump and as opposed to Bernie Sanders? So one suggestion would be another show about Bernie Sanders, that it does seem like Trump is getting too much attention when he has, like, 25% of the Republican support and Sanders has 30% of the Democratic support, which seems like that would be an equal or higher number of people supporting Sanders, but he doesn't get the attention that Trump is getting.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one suggestion, is more information about Bernie Sanders.
All right, Ian.
And my second suggestion would be, I miss all of Gene Farrakis' shows introducing people to Muslims, because I think so many people don't know anything about Muslims and have never met a Muslim. I have one suggestion. There's Holy Land Deli and Bakery in Minneapolis, and the brothers that started that business, one of them was given the U.S. Immigrant Business Award, like a business owner.
Yes.
And I mean, that company and that family has been instrumental in revitalizing a big part of Minneapolis, the Central Avenue District. They started with a small bakery, and now they have two restaurants and a hummus factory, and have, you know, like I say, have been instrumental in revitalizing a whole part of the city. Uh-huh. So that's Holy Land Deli and Bakery.
All right, Ann.
And you could find information about them online.
Great. Thank you so much for your call.
Yep, thank you.
Sure. Bye. Rick in Black River Falls. Hi.
Hi. The reason the show I'd like to hear is what how much control we think the 1% has over the agenda of the government.
Okay.
For example, is it the 1%'s best interest that government does nothing? And the issues that are on the nightly news every night, is it the 1%'s best interest to have the Republicans, Democrats argue certain points, you know, like immigration and abortion? I find they're important points, but when I'm 65 years old and I go watch the news, there seems to be a little relevancy into what the Democrats and Republicans are arguing about. When I'm thinking it's the economy and the stuff I'm thinking kind of points to the 1%.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think it'd be interesting to explore that or see any ideas about that.
All right. Thank you, Rick.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hi.
Okay.
Good show.
Thanks. Bye. Dave in Green Bay. Hi.
Hi, Kathleen.
Hi, Dave.
You know, there's so much talk that in this negative quality about immigration, and I think it might be interesting to do a show about what happened after World War II when, you know, we had devastated countries and people had been killing each other and fighting, but, you know, we came up with a Marshall Plan and we offered hope to people and we helped them rebuild their countries and their lives. And I'm thinking, well, why can't we use that idea with this flood of refugees and war-torn countries, parts of Iraq and Syria? Why couldn't we create some islands of hope? And why couldn't we create some international protectorates like there were after World War II or in World War I, like Danzig and Trieste, so that we could provide a place where people could be secure from the ravages of the area, but also have a place to, you know, to develop and, continue to build their own lives.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that would be far more positive than a program of just rejection or detention of these people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very much a part of our history and one of the great successes of the World War II policy in the aftermath of that.
All right. You can do some digging for us, or we'll do some digging to find out if somebody's written about it who'd be a good guest, Dave.
Well, I could follow up with some email if you'd like me to try and pursue that.
Thank you, sir.
Okay.
Thank you very much. We'd appreciate it.
Alrighty.
Okay. Thanks. Bye. Kate is next in Holman. Hi, Kate.
Hi, Kathleen. I'm calling with a different kind of suggestion. It's full of positive, hopeful messages.
All right, Kate. We need that.
Go
ahead.
We need that sometimes. And youth. I'm on Holman School Board, and while I was on Holman School Board, our student rep a couple of years ago was Brianna Schwabenbauer. She has gone on to the UW-Madison and has become one of the most active, positive leaders you will ever find. Mm. She has worked in Jen Schilling's office. She's an activist for teachers, for progressive agencies. She works with underprivileged children. She's going to graduate, I think, in a year. But like I said, she is president of the Student Wisconsin Education Association at UW-Madison, and that's huge for a girl from a very small town. She wants someday to run for governor, and by golly, I think she'll make it.
Really?
She's incredible, just incredible. And I thought a whole show based on the youthful leaders in this state.
That's a very good
would
idea.
Be mm-hmm. refreshing. Leaders from both sides, really.
Mm-hmm.
But she's a change maker. She has involved so many young people. And just when she talks to them, they get on board. She's put together, at the age of 21, a huge force of young people helping to change the state. So I don't know how I'd get that information to you. If I would email you my address or
if you
her
could
phone
do that,
number.
That would be great. How should people get a hold of us, KP? Can you? Wait. I got to figure out how you can talk to me. Do what?
Okay.
Okay. We'll give you the emails. You're sitting right next to me, so I don't send you too many emails. Is it what you... KP.Whaley, WHALEY, or Scotty, SC, you know how to spell that, SC, Scott, oh, I'm sorry, it's Scott, or Scott, C, ah, SCOTT dot Myers, MEYERS, and both are at WPR.org. Excellent. All right, yeah, for people who can't get through, or if we ask you to send us more information, that's the way to do it. All right, thank you. I like that idea of having young leaders on. That's good. That's very good. Eugene in Viola. Hi.
Good afternoon, Kathleen. We've got high water here.
Oh, you do?
You bet. You can't go to the Viola on a fard unless you go up on the ridge.
Wow.
But anyway, the reason I called... I was listening to BBC the other night, and I just caught the tail end of the program. They were talking about slave labor that was being brought into, the, I believe it was being brought into this country to work in the crab and the shrimp industry, and the big box stores were buying the crab and the shrimp.
Yeah, I read something about that. I didn't read the whole article.
I saw that, and I didn't know, I thought that might make a good story.
Yes,
the lady they were interviewing, the lady they were interviewing was very good at it.
Okay. Yeah, that is a good idea. I'm glad you refreshed my memory on that, Eugene.
Okay, thanks much. Yeah, bye-bye.
Bye. Thanks for the call. Jerry in Birchwood. Hi.
Hi, Kathleen. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure, but Jerry.
I just wanted to reiterate something three callers, I think, ahead of me said about having more coverage on Bernie Sanders because he sure doesn't get enough in the media, and I think he deserves it. I've heard quite a bit about public-funded elections, and I think that that might be something of interest, how we could accomplish that and get the money eventually out of politics. The other thing is that I live out in the country, and many of us out here, all we get on television is PBS and, you know, maybe a local, I think I get ABC out of Eau Claire.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, that would be nice if we could get some, the coverage, the candidates, the debates,
mm-hmm.
covered on either PBS, television, or radio.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. I think that's a good suggestion, too. I'm not sure what the intricacies are in having that happen, but we'll check on that for you.
Okay. All right. Very good.
Thanks, Jerry.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Bye.
Bye-bye.
William in Sun Prairie. Hi.
Hi. Would you be kind enough to interview Tom Hartman? He interviewed Don Siegelman, who was a former governor of Alabama, because he interviewed Don Siegelman. Don Siegelman has been placed in solitary confinement for quite a number of months. That's atrocious. Can you have Tom Hartman on your show, please?
All right. Thank you. We'll write that down as a suggestion. Thanks very much. Randy in Prentice. Hi, Randy.
Hi there.
Hi.
Hey, I was just, I listened a bit, and I would like to hear something on the other side of climate change. It seems like, you know, you guys are one side, and it would bring in, the other side, especially if, you know, you think the other side is kind of so, I don't know, stupid or ignorant. I would think it would make, you know, the climate change man-made just a little bit more presentable because, you know, if you had somebody on that would present the other side, you know, they would look stupid maybe. And I got a couple suggestions. Mark Stein, he wrote Disgrace of a Profession. And Climate Change Depot, there's a guy there. And then a weather guy, Joe Viscardi from weatherbell.com, would be good ones.
You know, Randy, I think we might be beyond that. We just had 195 nations on Earth sign an agreement on carbon emission reduction. I think we're beyond denial of climate change. I'm not sure I'd want to do a full interview. Do you understand that?
Yeah, but why not? Wouldn't that make your side even more presentable to make this person look so stupid?
Well,
you know, to get that out?
Yeah, I don't know.
You know, if it's such a scientific thing, you know, usually science isn't a consensus. You know, usually science is a, you disprove the theory, uh-huh, and then it becomes science.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
Okay.
All right,
yeah.
Thanks, Randy.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, no, thanks for the suggestion. Sarah in Green Bay. Hi, Sarah.
Hi. I appreciate you taking my call. Mm-hmm. In December, I think it's 2nd, the Press Gazette had an editorial from someone by the name of Andy Koenig, and he's with the a senior policy advisor at Freedom Partners Chamber of Commerce. I have no idea what that is, but what really interests me about the article is he talked about all these tax breaks that are extended at the holiday time for big corporate tax breaks, and they comprise 50 separate temporary tax breaks, and they do these two-year extensions, and nobody talks about them. But what happens is that not only do they never get this actually put into the budget, it's never really budgeted because it's just an extension. And also then these corporations have to go to these congressmen to get them to do it. So it seems like a really great opportunity for money to pass hands in order for to get favors.
Mm-hmm.
And he called the goodies tax extenders. And he says it's one of the worst examples of corporate welfare in America today. And I've never heard anything about this, and I would just suggesting it might make a very interesting discussion.
Yes, it would. Thank you, Sarah, for your call.
Thank you.
Thanks. Matthew on Facebook says, 4 years of listening and I've heard you speak to people about average people, but never to an average person unless something happens to them. Can you just talk to a dude? I think we do when we invite callers, right? Just, yeah, we talk to dudes. Wait, I don't. How do you do this, KP? Come show me how I can talk to you. All right, I'm talking to. I'm trying to get so KP can. We can hear KP talk to you. Hello? No? Hello? No? Oh, wait. Maybe. No? All right, you come in at break and then we can talk. Okay, so keep the thought that you had. We had this figured out so we can talk back and forth, which I obviously can't figure out how to do, but we'll figure it out. Sarah, thanks very much for the call. And I see what, you know, it's sort of like gathering a group of people to ask what they think about things, which might be a kind of a neat thing for us to do every now and then. And if you'd like to, if you would be willing to be just a dude on the show sometime, let us know, and that would be good. All right. This one here?
I think so.
All right, we're going to try. When he gets back, I'll take one more caller. Thanks, Sarah, very much for the call. And we go to Lori in Winona, Minnesota. Hi, Lori.
Hi, Kathleen. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I also have an uplifting, positive suggestion.
Good. All right.
I love to hear about women and young girls doing great things, and I've heard several shows about the struggle with getting young girls into science. And I have a great suggestion. Dr. Shelley Payton, University of Massachusetts Amherst, her doctorate is in chemical engineering, and she's doing fascinating research on breast cancer.
Hmm.
And I think her story would be very interesting on how she overcame the odds in this male-dominated field.
All right. Thank you very much. Thanks for this suggestion. Yeah, bye.
Bye.
We go to Dwayne in Dalton. Hi, Dwayne.
Hello. I would like to see a program put out Department of Corrections, and not so much for what's really going on in the news that is coming out. I'm talking about staff retention, pay, benefits that it's being taken away. We have staff shortage so bad in Department of Corrections right now. I know where I work. We're down 60 to 65 staff members.
Woo!
Yeah,
wow.
Currently. And I know that's just one institution in this state. And we have people that are leaving early. Either they can retire or they're just leaving because of the fact that it's gotten so bad inside there and not a lot is coming out in the public.
Mm-hmm.
I think that should be brought to light. I know if you get Ed Ball on the phone and keep talking to him, he's not going to tell you the truth. He's lied way too much to be on anything that's going to tell anybody the truth. So
where do you get the truth?
Well, you get it from staff members that work there.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is you have to get retired staff members because even me talking on the phone right now is probably going to be a violation of my work rules.
Mm. Really?
It is pretty sad, yes, but that's the truth.
Okay, well, yes, we will do a show on this. Thank you.
Yep, bye-bye.
Okay, bye. I've heard that's been a problem, but we haven't done a show on it, and so we will. We're doing an open line this hour. We had a cancellation from the author of the biography, John Meacham, on George Herbert Walker Bush, which is very thorough and very, very well-reported story, so we may have that on some other time. But it's not today, so we had to figure out what to do. And we just finally, after trying to go some other avenues, said, let's do an open line. We haven't done one in a long time, and you frequently give us good suggestions. So that's what we're doing. Here's the number, 800-486-8655, our Facebook page, in case you can't get through and you'd like to comment there and like us as well, because then we'll send you announcements of what shows are coming up. And you can read all these interesting thoughts from people who think a lot of different things that are worth reading. That's the Kathleen Dunn Show. More phone calls from you in a moment on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I don't know about you, but I've done so little holiday shopping, and we just thought it would be kind of fun to do a show on really good gift giving, because you have good suggestions and it's what everybody's doing. Most people are doing this time of year. So we're going to do that during the second hour of our show tomorrow. Right, KP?
I'm not sure.
Oh, by golly, it works. This was testing. That is what we're doing, but I also wanted to test the microphone.
I'm so busy today, Kathleen. I can't keep up with all these calls.
You're getting a lot of phone calls?
A lot.
Good. This is good. It was a good thing for us to do, don't you think?
Absolutely, yeah. We're getting some good suggestions and some things that we've thought and talked about doing, and now we're just getting that reinforcement, so that's good.
Excellent. Oh, and I'm so glad this is working now. You sound like you're on the radio. Which you are. Thanks, KP.
Welcome.
Yeah. Our number is 800-486-8655. Marty in Douglas County. Hey, Marty.
Hey, good afternoon, Kathleen.
Hi.
I have two suggestions. First of all, the ubiquitous Dr. David Perlmutter. He's everywhere nowadays. He's a neurologist. The guy really knows what he's talking about. He came out with a book a couple years ago called Grain Brain about grains and how they affect our health. His latest, hottest one right now is Brain Maker. It's about gut microbes. So, and how what's going on in your gut can affect every aspect of your life, from heart disease to anxiety. I don't know how easy he would be to get in touch with, because, as I said, you can't turn on PBS during a pledge drive and not see him there, but he would be really interesting. And my other suggestion is Dr. Henry Emmons, E-M-M-O-N-S. He's a psychiatrist and a practitioner of Buddhist meditation who has written a couple of really great books, The Chemistry of Joy, which is about depression, and The Chemistry of Anxiety, or The Chemistry of Calm, which is about anxiety, in which he gives a really detailed explanation of how you can treat both of these syndromes without medication by using Ayurveda, meditation, mindfulness, supplements, community. Mm-hmm. He's in Minneapolis. There's a wellness institute where he is employed in Minneapolis, and I think would be a really, really interesting guy to have on.
All right. Thanks, Mark.
And just one quick thing about Minneapolis. Holy Land, oh, my God, go. It's amazing.
All right, Marty. Thanks. Thanks very much for your call. Let's go to Gail in Fish Creek. Hi, Gail.
Hi. I would suggest Mark Ash of Reader Support News. One of the he's kind of a link between the public and a lot of authors and a lot of activists and a lot of people that are out there getting connected and making sure that lists are blown where they need to be, rights are being taken care of,
constitutional rights aren't being broken. Some of the people who write for his site have articles on it through him, have gone into, had been tossed in jail for time and time again for standing up to rights. I think it's a really important site that more people should be involved in, because while we still need to have news, people need to be getting their news from some powerful sources who are, these are our boots on the ground. These are our people that are really wanting to bring us the information that we really need to know. Then we would know that, you know, Donald Trump will not end up being president if we knew all of this other information and not just regular media.
Mm-hmm. All right, Gail, thanks. Thanks for your call.
Mm-hmm.
Bye. Tracy, Green Bay. Hi.
Hi. And a caller earlier had suggested something about the 1% and how much they actually control of our politics and the way things lean. And that got me to thinking about the shrinking middle class and what that means for all of us economically, socially, what it really means to be middle class. And it seems that, you know, for this shrinking bit, you know, bunch of people, that there are really more people who feel they're middle class and maybe aren't by the definition. So I think it'd be interesting to have a discussion about that and what it means for us and what we can do to either stop it or change it or whatever.
Great. Thank you, Tracy.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks. Jeff in Wausau. Hi.
Hi, Kathleen.
Hi, Jeff.
Love the show. Listen to it often. One of the things that I suggest you do is have several, if you want to invite them, guest speakers, urologists or otherwise, on the issue of prostate cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Men's prostate cancer, as it relates to the coverage it gets in women's breast cancer. I mean, you've got the foundations out there. You see pink everywhere in NFL games. You see Breast Cancer Awareness Week. You see it all over. As of next May, I'll be a five-year survivor. And it's a billion-dollar-a-year business in the robotic or Da Vinci robotic prostate surgery business with urology. That's actually the last course of action a man should take. Surgery shouldn't be the first option. It should be the last.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many other methods that you can approach to treat this that preserve your quality of life. Typically what will happen is you're diagnosed, you hear the word cancer, you'll run home, have a sit and cry, and go in and go get it out and have the surgery. At that point, your odds are not good of a full recovery or as good as they could be with alternative treatment methods.
All right. Yeah, we don't do very many, and this is just, I don't know, because there's so many other things that we talk about. We don't do a lot of medical shows, but we do, you know, the cost of health care and Affordable Care Act and how is it doing, et cetera. But we don't usually look at diseases, but maybe we should, huh, Jeff, do you think?
Well, I think it should be addressed because it gets very little attention. And as I said, compared to women's breast cancer, which
right.
gets a ton of attention. And it is, as I mentioned, a multi-billion-dollar industry in the surgery end of it. And I'm sure there's going to be quite a few urologists out there that are upset or disagree with me. But the surgery aspect of prostate cancer should be a last option.
Right. All right, thanks very much. And let's hear from you, too, via Facebook or whatever. Would you like more medical shows? Would you like discussions of specific diseases or more policy-related medical shows? We'd like to hear from you on that. Chris in Janesville, hi.
Hi. I'd love to hear an episode on the farm-to-school movement and hearing about how we can get a larger amount of local farms getting produce into our local schools' food systems.
Okay.
I think it's a great program that doesn't get enough press around the area, and I personally am a farmer that does it, and I think it would be a wonderful thing to talk about.
Great. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Chris. Bye.
Bye.
Karen in Franklin. Hi.
Hi. I would like to, well, this ties into your last hour when you were discussing Donald Trump and how he tends to behave with basically bullying. And I would like to maybe hear from someone, maybe from the Department of Instruction in Wisconsin, talk about how the publicity and of that Donald Trump is receiving may be tying into bullying in the schools and students seeing that, you know, hearing the kinds of things that he says about people and thinking that it's kind of okay to do this, to behave that way.
Okay.
I don't have a suggestion for a person, but maybe someone within the Department of Instruction could speak to that, social worker, someone maybe who works with young people.
Right, right. Somebody who knows about bullying, I'm sure, and there's probably somebody in that department who does. Karen, thank you very much for your call. Randy in Duluth, hi.
Yeah, Kathleen.
Yeah.
I would like to hear a subject again about municipal drinking water.
Okay.
I've heard on public radio, Minnesota Public Radio or Wisconsin in the past, you know, they've talked about how delicious and how good drinking water is for you from the tap.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that there's so much chlorine and fluoride alone in it, in our Duluth water supply, and I used to live in Minneapolis-St. Paul, it was maybe even worse there. But you can smell the chlorine, and you can, and it literally is not good for you, I believe. And what if anybody else has any thoughts about it?
Where do you get your water? Lake Superior?
Our water comes from Lake Superior up here.
Uh-huh.
But you can smell the chlorine. You can taste the chlorine and stuff like that. And while they're dumping so much of it in our water, and it's not just Duluth, you know,
right.
Fluoride and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
These are poisons.
Huh. All right, Randy, show on where we get our water, drinking water. Thanks for your suggestions. Jake in Michigan. Hi.
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 My suggestion was just if you guys would look into the head of the DNC, Debbie Wasserman Schultz. I know she was the party leader for Clinton's campaign in the previous election, and there's been a lot of hubbub online about how there's only been six debates and people want more, and they're all hosted on Saturdays or low traffic time.
Mm-hmm.
Just looking into that, I think.
All right, Jake. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Bye. Jim in Madison. Hi.
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 I'd really like to hear a show about the history of the Middle East. And most people think that Iraq and Saudi Arabia and Kuwait and those countries are like Persia. They've been around a long time. They don't realize they were just invented by the French and the British after World War
I. Mm-hmm. All right.
And,
great minds think along the same lines. That's just what the first caller suggested.
Yugoslavia has.
And Yugoslavia?
Yeah, I mean, the invention of the countries in the Middle East have worked out just as well as the invention of the country of Yugoslavia was done.
Mm-hmm. All right, thank you very much. Seconding the motion of caller number one of how the Middle East, the modern Middle East, came to be. Lisa in Kenosha. Hi.
Hi, Kathleen.
Hi,
I would suggest having someone from the company Bridgeworks, which is a company based out of Minnesota that provides trainings to different companies or government entities. They provide training to work with people when there's multiple generations in the workforce. So how you work together with each other when you're working with either from a baby boomer to a millennial.
Mm-hmm.
And so they actually kind of give tips on how you work with each other and how you view the world based on the generation you grew up in.
All right. That sounds interesting, Lisa.
Yes, and their website is generations.com.
Generations.com.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Ma'am. Nobody calls me ma'am, Lisa. Okay, ma'am.
All right, yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Lisa. Thanks very much. Terry sends this email, don't give climate change deniers any time at all, and I hope the words Donald Trump are never spoken on your show again. I can't guarantee that. I'm not sure about the climate change deniers, though. I'm not sure we'll do a show on that. Matt emails, not really show topics, a couple suggestions. Pledge drive show idea, instead of a normal guest, call-in show recalling listeners' favorite guests and topics. We were thinking about that for a year-end show, maybe. We might do that because we've had so many shows that, you know, think, oh, that was a great show. That was a great show. Wasn't that interesting? So that's an idea. Oh, we don't have time, do we? I don't think we have time. So, KP, tell us, how do people reach us then if they didn't get through today? Because I'm sure some people didn't.
How do people get a hold of us?
Yes, KP. If they want more suggestions, the suggestion that you don't want to.
Oh, yeah, we just have a few minutes left, don't we?
I know.
Email Scotty and I, kp.whaley, WHALEY, or scott.myers, MEYERS, at WPR.org. You can go to our Facebook page and like us while you're there. And also, you know, you can post a comment there or send us an email there or just send it to WPR or talk at WPR.org.
Okay, great. Thank you, KP. Very much.
Welcome.
And thanks, everybody, for all of your calls. We aren't sure about John Meacham. If you were tuning in for that discussion, I'm not sure at this point in time when that might happen. But I do recommend the book. It was a good book on George Herbert Walker Bush. I love doing presidential shows, historical shows. But I'm sorry it couldn't happen today. But thanks for all of your suggestions. Thanks to KP Whaley for answering all of the phone calls. Thanks for all of the phone calls. News is coming up from National Public Radio, and we'll be with you again tomorrow at 1 o'clock.